I call this meeting to order. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy.
Here.
Councilmember Morgan.
Here.
Councilmember Edelman.
Here.
Councilmember Pepper.
Here.
Councilmember Weber.
Here.
First session today is we have the preliminary budget. I have a letter that May Miller wrote explaining some of the changes. So we're going to want to review the two property tax ordinances that are due for King County. And we want to review the request to add $10,000 to the budget for the Black Diamond Community Center. And we have and that $10,000 would reduce the ending fund balance from $1,021,291 to $1,011,291, and it's still an increase of $117,176 for the year, and the balance is 20% over budget operating costs and will provide funds for a little over 3 months of operating expenditures in the general fund. To meet any advanced public hearing requirements on the 27 budget, we need to get any changes before December 1st when we have the first public hearing. A second public hearing and adoption are scheduled for December 15th, and adopted budget is required December 31st. So, Director May Miller is out of town for 3 days and will be back next week. So we can schedule another work study on the budget if you care to do that. So then the other letter is the preliminary budget has been, including the mayor's message, has been posted to the website. Based on the comments at the last work study meeting on October 27th and further review, the 27 budget for the Public Works Capital Fund has been changed to remove the developer-funded project. So the auditor had and the attorney had requested us to put those on the capital improvement plan, but they were not required to be in the budget. And since those items are being funded by the developer, they're not required to be in the city budget. And that's the developer projects are the annexation road, the Lake Soy Road extension, Roberts Drive, Lake Soy Road extension, and the Black Diamond Ravensdale Road, Roberts Drive, SR interim, state route interim intersect improvement design engineering. So anyway, so we took that off, and we also took off the 232nd Avenue chip seal because it's not supposed to be in the budget till 2018. And then the only other change was to add an MDRT revenue and expenditures of $90,103 to cover anticipated additional MDRT project costs in the 2017 budget. Neither change has any financial impact on the 27 budget as they were completely covered by revenue. Some technical and related summary changes are also included in this budget. The first public hearing on this 2017 preliminary budget has been scheduled for November 17th at the regular council meeting. And this is really important for us to realize in order to meet our budget schedule that we need to have these meetings and meet these dates. It's really important that these schedules are kept because otherwise we'll be out of compliance with state requirements. So has anybody looked at their budget or do they have any questions on their budget? Councilmember Pepper. It would just come out of the excess funds that we have. It would just reduce our excess fund balance by $10,000.
Okay, and I have a question about
I know that the city uses the city seal when you see Miner's Day or Maple Valley, or I'm sorry, Black Diamond Labor Days, but does the city contribute money to them, or should we, or do we, or can we contribute an amount to these events, like the community center, Miner's Day? I mean, I asked the question, that's all.
Labor Day is...
Maybe you do contribute, but I don't know that.
No, we can't.
So we're not allowed as a city.
Right. But we do sponsor the Labor Day event.
Is that... I do recognize that, but that does not include any funding to them.
No, we do not provide any funding to any special events in the city.
All right. And so then
Okay, so... The labor, whatever labor, whatever staff has to do is donated time, but we do not donate any funds. So when we have the police there to make sure that we don't have any problems at Labor Days or Miner's Day, the police are there. We also have city staff help set up and put cones and barriers up so that it's safe for people driving through town. So they do help. The city staff does
help. Yes, I do recognize that. I was just wondering if there was... but you're saying we were not allowed to do
that. No, we're not allowed to.
Okay, well then my next thing would be, where is the Planning Commission on here? In what is it included?
They don't get paid.
Okay, then I would ask, how would a person go about... if we have a Black Diamond Municipal Planning Commission, then it stands to reason we could have a Black Diamond Municipal Arts Commission.
That is correct.
So how could we do that?
Well, I've been talking to some people that are on an arts committee myself, and they would have to get it organized and present it to us.
Because if we do have a Municipal Arts Commission, that commission would qualify for municipal arts funds, and the commission itself could get grant. I mean, maybe not the first year, but they could get grants from, say, For Culture to distribute as the commission saw fit.
Correct.
To the things around town. So,
yeah.
So I would like to be in favor of that. Be involved in that in some way.
Well, they have to come up with a draft organization, and they haven't done that yet. They haven't gotten that far. So I've been talking to them. Huh?
Not budgeted either.
No, but it wouldn't be something that we would budget anyway.
Well, but you at some
we
point
we could sponsor them just like we do Labor Days, and then when they have events, we could help have them set up, but we would not give them any funds.
Well, a city could do that. I mean, they could do that if they wanted to. They could provide some kind of operating budget for them because they would be a municipal group and meet here, actually. So I would welcome.
Well, you know, I'd have to do more research.
Okay,
that.
But I would welcome a conversation about that. So thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Okay. This is Councilmember Edelman. What I would suggest is that would be something that you can start that conversation in January.
Well, see, okay. I wasn't sure.
Because the thing is that we've been in this budget cycle now for many months, and so what I would suggest, because chances are if it's handled similar to Labor Days and Miner's Days, those are organizations that are out there. They do their own fundraising. Those people work for free. All of their time is donated as volunteers. So if at some point in the future our city grows to a point where we can afford to do that and pay people, that's another story. But you can start the groundwork, but I'm suggesting January or next year would be the time to be doing that.
Okay, but I would just like to say that persons that serve on Arts Commission don't get paid either. Okay. So it's like the Planning Commission. It would be
okay.
Like the Planning Commission. So
I mean, it's a noble thing, and I'm not disputing the fact that it would be a nice thing to have, but it's kind of outside the
parameters of what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Not a big deal, but I've mentioned it page 7, it's got the org chart. It has this dotted line of the city attorney. I don't think that's correct.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yes, it is. They have access to them.
No, I understand that, but we're dotted lines with you, just like the municipal board chart is dotted line.
I'm a straight line to the attorney. They're a dotted line to the attorney. So they, it's possible if we had, okay. Okay.
Oh, I think I'm right. The only debt the city has is the water fund debt.
As Councilmember Weber, I have a picky edit as well, and I know we covered this before. Page 19, in the next to the last sentence, it says, in Black Diamond, there are three school districts. That should have been changed to 4. And just for anybody that might go through the audio or listen, and to clarify for myself, on the work study outline you talked about, number 3, where we're talking about the community center budget to give them $10,000. I just want to clarify for whoever that on page 12 and 13 is where those items are. Under on page 12, it's item 53 under the 2017 preliminary budget. And also on page 13, it is line in 53 as well, under the 27 budget.
Oh, where the additional campus come out.
Right. Yeah, so that number would
you could put a new line item in that so that it could be a continuing item that we get every year. So it would be like public services rather than just Black Diamond.
Okay. So there will be a line item put in for this year?
And something that Tammy and I were talking about earlier today, too, with the folks at the community center, is that this is something that we should be doing. There is no, and I think Cheryl Hansen brought this up in our last meeting last week, there is no community services or public services line item in our budget at all. Now, our community center is a separate 501c3. That doesn't keep us from doing these grants, especially when they need the money. So we're different from Maple Valley and a lot of other cities that actually fund their community centers through their budgeting process. So, and I would be all for having a new line item added, just for ad infinitum.
Yes,
we need to. This is something that we as a city need to step up. And since Tammy and the mayor and I are there multiple times a week, as much as we can, serving lunches to these folks, having their budgets cut. We see people there that don't have the $3 to pay for their meal, their hot meal. And it's in a lot of cases, it's the only meal that they get. So I think $10,000, and I think we should, pre-plan that in the future, as inflation takes over or their insurance rates go up, it's something we need to coordinate with them every year, that we should just buck up and take that on as our responsibility.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that, because I sort of remember that when they were forced to separate off their insurance from the city insurance, that there was some, we weren't necessarily sure that we could do it. We knew that they didn't have enough warning to know that they had to make another solution, and so we helped them out that first year. But I was concerned that we do it with funds that would be available from year to year, because I think it's really an important part of the city to have some of these social services. And I've sort of been thinking, you know, one of the things that we talked about before was eventually there probably will be need for another community center when we go up to having over 20,000 people in town.
Well, that
and I understand that, and a bigger, broader base probably of programs and options and things that are involved in that. Well, but we need to start thinking about some kind of a vehicle for these things that we see that are out in the future. We need to start thinking about, maybe we don't need to put money aside now, but we need to start thinking about, well, eventually we're going to need to think about being able to put money aside for those things.
Well, and the thing is, if the community center moves, and I think one of the things that Oak Point has talked about is building a community center in the villages.
Mm-hmm.
And then since the community center owns their building, they could certainly have money to make a down payment and get a loan for a bigger community center. So there's a lot of possibilities.
Well, there's a lot of possibilities, and there is a lot of possibilities. And then how much do you want to do? Is there a gym there? Is there a swimming pool there? Is, you know, it just depends on. So, I mean, that's another bigger conversation beyond.
Well,
but it is a forward-looking thing, and that's, I just wanted to mention that. That it is a forward-looking thing that has been mentioned.
Yeah, and I think it's a good idea. I think, these are things that are right now going to be many, many years out. As far as like swimming pools and, you know, the tennis courts and some of that, depending on where they are, they may be a homeowners association issue. They may not be something that everybody that city owns. Well, I personally hope not. We don't want to have to manage a swimming pool. Let the homeowners associations do it. Well, and just, it's just, you know, go talk to people in Covington about maintaining the old forward thrust pool that's over by Tahoma High School. It's huge. So I think we need to be aware of what's going on and do some planning at some point. But I think we've got lots of time before that. You know, we don't have any houses up there yet. Personally, I think if we just agree to fund their insurance for the next few years, I think that would be a step in the right direction.
Certainly a step. So, Councilmember Deedy. So I agree with helping the community center out with this $10,000, and I agree with putting it as a line item like the mayor has stated. I also just want to remind everybody that, you know, every year we look at the budget and we see how much we can afford to give to the community center. So $10,000 this year, and hopefully it'll be the same next year or maybe more, or it could be less. But, you know, as long as the city's putting on this for every year, a line item to show that the community center and the community that, you know, the city of Black Diamond cares about its citizens to help with the budget over there at the community center, then I think it's a great idea, and, you know, the community center definitely needs the city's help.
Pepper here. This might not be the right place. You know how the police say we answer this many calls? I wonder if the community at large has any idea of just how many people are served over and over again by the community center. And I say this as a question. They may already do this, and I don't know, but do they keep track of the volume of people that are served over there?
So, Councilmember Deedy. So, yes, the community center tracks all that. We track, you know, how many people we feed, how many people we serve at BASC, how many people for the backpack program, you know, how many people for the food bank, the Christmas time, you know, the gift tags, the gifts. You know, we track all of that. And then Cheryl does a report. And generally at the end of the year, she does do a write-up in the paper to say, you know, here's all the funding, here's, you know, everything. So it is noticed.
Because on the website, I was looking at the website, maybe I didn't click on that, and I don't know whether it's intrusive to put it on there, but I just think that people have no idea of how busy that center is.
Ms. Councilmember Weber, so if we're putting in a line item for the community center, are we putting in a public service line item as well at this time? Because I would like to see one for at least $2,500 for public service, a line item for public service.
Like if you volunteer or?
I don't know.
Well, I thought we were just talking about a couple. So the community center line item that fits the whole category of social services, public service. Okay. Well, that's fine. I just want to clarify. Yeah.
Pepper, new topic if people are finished with that one. On page I have a question. Page 26, item 6. What is court interest? What is court interest, item number 6 on page 26?
Fines on time.
Oh. Okay, another question for page 27, Pepper. Is there going to be a time when do we still get passport revenue if we're not doing passports anymore?
We're going to start doing passports again.
That would be my next question. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
We just stopped because we were so shorthanded.
Yes, I recognize that, but I wasn't sure when I was looking at this if I didn't know whether you're starting up again.
Well, there's a budgeted amount in 2017. So.
Oh, there's a budgeted amount.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, as I recall, it didn't change. How they handle how that passport money was coming through.
I don't think so.
No.
No, Brenda knows. No.
No.
Because I can remember, well, okay. That explains, okay, the two things together, I think I got an explanation now. Thank you.
Hey, we also collect, like if they want to expedite the fee, the extra fee that it costs to mail it out as well. So that's not a burden on the city to have to pay for that. So, but we did start taking passports again last week.
Pepper, a question on page 27. There is something called funding agreement. Revenue includes a general fund portion of the funding agreement of ongoing costs in 2017. It says, item number 1 on page 27, partner funding agreement. What is that?
That's Oak Points. So they do a budget every year. I think one of you requested a copy of that budget. And that would be according to their budget in 2017 is $829,000.
We have some nominal thing that is this just a gift, or do we have some nominal thing that this is supposed to be paying for?
It's a specific budget by line item for what they are paying for that they have continued to pay for, and I believe somebody asked for a copy
somebody
of that.
Asked for a
so
copy, but I
there's
have,
a
I
there's a
mean,
line
I
item that says what they're paying
okay,
for.
Okay, but it's a line item.
Oh, 16.
Oh.
This is Councilmember Weber again. I just had a question for Brenda. On the, you said that when they do an expedited passport, do we get all that 60 or just a portion for the $60 fee for the just the?
Oh, when they expedite, no, we only get the $25. Everything else goes to the feds.
Okay,
it's 20, was it? I think it's $20.95 to expedite something.
Right.
So we make them pay for that instead of the city having to pay for it.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so on number two of May's sheet, she talks about review the two required property tax ordinance, which I have done. So I support both those. So I don't know where, if there's a discussion that the council wants to have.
Well, let's make sure we've gone through the budget.
So one of the things that just looking at page 17 where it talks the 20 general fund revenue sources, I'd really like to know for each one of those how we're deciding what the revenue is going to be. I have a pretty good idea, and we'll be talking about it when we talk about the property tax. That's fairly well locked down by the by the county, like they give us a fixed amount probably. But I'm going, well, I imagine that you can probably project the electric utility taxes and maybe even the sales taxes from time to time. I'm not sure about the court fees.
Well, they do reports just like everybody else does. The court does reports on everything, in all their income and all their expenses, and then they turn in a request for their own budget, and that's what they did this year. So all of these numbers come from either experience in history or what the...
I'd like to see what the actual real formula is that makes these projections, because I want to know how sure those projections are.
Well, you know what? May does all of the projections for the income.
I understand she does.
And she uses her calculator. So she goes through and looks at what we did last year, what we look at, what we're going to be building next year or what else we're going to do, and then she calculates if we're going to build 50 houses, this is how much income we're going to get in these different categories. And plus, if a house is built and sold before the end of the year, then we get a half a year's of property taxes. So whether she has a formula that can go out to the public, I don't know. But she's been doing this for many, many, many years. And the court comes up with, this is what we did last year. Everything has been going up in the courts. We've had 2 court days a month, and now sometimes they're full-day court days instead of half-day court days. So the calculation is based on what we did last year, what we anticipate to happen next year, and what kind of additional properties that we're going to have in the city next year, construction and building. And there's some more in-city housing developments that are out there now, too. So we have a couple of short plats for 5 houses and another short plat for 4 houses.
And how many building permits have been let?
Like for last year?
For this year? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what that number is. Mm-hmm. It's out there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But quite a few. We had quite a few building permits this year.
I understand.
I know there's a report somewhere on that because May does it.
It's the breakdown of the revenue in the municipal court. And so you can see, too, the actuals from 2015. You can get a better idea of probably how it was projected. We've got an estimated year-end column. We have that for all of the sources of revenue and expenditures as well. So.
Okay.
This is Councilmember Weber. So the increase in the, we'll say for item number 26, same page, under number one for the court traffic infractions, the budget is more than double what was budgeted this year. Is that, you know, if that's because we're expecting more traffic or maybe getting a traffic enforcement, like a commercial enforcement officer?
It's the commercial enforcement officer. That's why we doubled it. Because his salary and his expenses are all going to be covered by the income that we get from the overweight vehicles and the defective equipment vehicles.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks.
Update on the water utility tax. Are we going to be getting any utility tax from Covington Water District?
Don't know yet. We haven't sat down.
Okay.
We're going to, I've preliminary met with Covington Mayor and Maple Valley Mayor, and so we're going to get back together again at the beginning of the year and talk about how we're going to do it because we're going to have more clout if we all three do it together. So it's going to be another Tri-City joint plan to do it.
Councilor Arditi. Jana, on page 29, where the council services, so it went up, I think it went up $104. Is that right? The budget for the council increased. So it was $4,485. Now it's $4,900. Did we spend all our service money this year? You know,
I'm not sure. I know that the estimate is
$4,485. Yeah. But it doesn't. So underneath there, it says the budget for the council increased $104 in 2017. So So where did, where was that increase at?
Well, it was
$4,800 for the budget. And then it was $831 to $835 for the deficit. Oh, okay. Okay, I see. Okay.
And that's the accounting for
class. Yeah. Yeah. So I was just wondering, right. So, Councilor Diaz, I was just wondering if we had hit our budget, if we're close to the end or where we're at, or, you know.
Well, we're going to be under budget, but she just figured that more people have been asking for more classes recently, and so that she wanted to make sure there was enough budget, because you can always come in under budget, but you don't want to go over budget if you don't have to.
Okay. Councilmember Deedy. So on page 31, under information services, so that went up a little bit, and I just, if I understand right, we're giving him an extra day, right?
Yes.
So that's why it went up there, because we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Councilmember Deedy again. So just for clarification, just on the union negotiations, it went up from $15,000 to $25,000, and that's because there is another union or next year, correct? Okay.
31.
Union negotiations.
Councilmember Pepper, on page 61, it's the bottom third of the page, item number seven, spring permits, water rights, easements, and it looks like it got smaller. How did that, what happened there? Are we paying something off, or? Do we pay something every year?
Number one, we don't pay anything for the work done. This is its own group, water fund group, and they pay for everything. We direct the work, and they pay for everything. So the income and the expenses are exactly the same. And so, you know, we do different things every year, and so the difference is based on what our projects are, and they were in the capital improvement plan.
PCC and developer pays for?
Yes.
For upgrading our springs project for the city, and I think, isn't that in the Verduga somehow?
No.
No?
This is just, it's just the WFSA agreement. And they just agreed to trying to find an alternate source of water that wouldn't be as fragile as the springs. It's still spring water, but it's coming from a different place. Yeah, it says right here, this capacity and system reliability project includes a new pumping system, an updated chlorine system, and replacing the transmission main back to Black Diamond. The city's draft capital improvement plan 2017 to 22 describes this project in more detail. We don't pay. That's true. We have not passed the capital improvement plan. And there were some new projects that everybody requested on there that won't get implemented if it doesn't get passed.
Councilmember D. So on page 52 under Revenue Water Fund, so the Palmer Coke and Cola contribution of $98,420, but next year will be $98,000. Is that in correlation with the WSSA, or is that a little different? Different. Right. But I just wanted
it's to. It's construction and maintenance, and this is our water fund that everybody that gets water in the city. So we have income, revenue and expenditures. I like the Jones Lake ice skaters. Wear a suit when you go ice skating.
So, Councilmember Deedy. So, on page 64, under expenditures on line 9, says stormwater DOE grant improvements, $25,000. The council didn't pass the grant. So, are we going out? Going to try again? Or
well,
what is that?
We've already applied for a $25,000 grant for next year. So, that $25,000 would be a new DOE grant. There is nothing in the budget for this year. I mean, the $50,000 was in the budget, but there's no estimated year end on it.
Okay, Councilmember Pepper here. I'm on page 54. Paragraph 2 of the Sewer Operating Fund 407, I do remember May saying that the council would have to think at some point about raising the sewer rate. She was not discussing it as though it would be this year. But I was wondering if the mayor would comment on that.
Okay. Well, we are going to do the pass-through if it gets through council. We're going to do the pass-through because we automatically get a raise every year by King County Metro. So we are going to do that, and I can't remember if it was on the next meeting or I think it's December 1st meeting that contract, because it had to go through the attorney. And so they're going to do that, and then we're going to do during probably the first quarter of the year, we're going to have a study like we did 5 years ago when I was first on council. We're going to have the same people come in and restudy all the utilities so that we can decide on some of the other utilities that we raised a lot that we had talked about. If we got to the point where we were gaining more than we were spending, that we would actually reduce some of those rates, like maybe on the water fund. But the sewer fund, we are going to need to raise our rate on it, because you can't go more than 1%, and our costs are going up for more than 1% every year. So we will be looking at that next year during the first quarter, probably.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so that presentation and that gentleman did, uh-huh, like 4.5 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really good, and that showed the citizens here's where you are at, and here's if you know, and you're not paying the bills, and here's just a little raise of the of your taxes, and that helps pay this. But, you know, and it was showing, you know, we really should be up here, but we're still down here. So it was a really good example for the citizens and the council and the mayor and everybody to see this whole program and how our budget is affected, whether you go up or down or however. It was really good.
And this, Councilmember Edelman, and also what it did, it's based on an Excel spreadsheet. So what he would do is we would say, okay, if we had a 1% increase and he put 1% in, and you, because of all of his calculations that he had, it would show when you go from red into the black. Or if you went up 10%, where was that? It was a really great way to see. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, it was a matter of a couple of clicks with a mouse because it's all done in Excel. It was fascinating. And then we were given the opportunity, because we had that knowledge, to decide what level of increase did we need to do and over what period of time, because if my memory is correct, we did it over 2 or 3 years where we had to, and they were like 15% increases. They were pretty high because there was no money in these funds, and so we had to do something to get these, because these funds are the enterprise funds that have to be self-sustaining. And until we get more houses that brings in the population to also help out and pay for these funds, everybody's paying. So at the point that we get even, you know, 10 or 15 houses up the hill, that could have an impact on what everybody in Old Town pays, because you've got more people in the population paying. Does that make sense?
So this is a funding study as opposed to a comprehensive plan for the utility, right?
Yeah, it's just a revenue study, but it's a revenue study that takes into account what our expenses are going to be also.
Councilmember Weber, so on page 54, same page, where it's talking about miscellaneous revenue, this year was budgeted $4,260, and next year it jumps up to $12,900. Can you refresh me on what that miscellaneous revenue is? Seems like that's a lot of miscellaneous.
Yeah. Sure.
Because we had so much more building last year than we anticipated, so that's why we were above budget. And we know we're going to have new houses built next year, and they all have to pay connection charges. So I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Because that's the only thing, two things that we have in the sewer, is the user charges and the connection charges.
Is there some place, Erica, where it shows what the reserves, where the reserves in these operating funds are at?
Well, there's pages for all the...
I know the individual, you know, and it says transfer from sewer reserves, and I'm going.
So the water capital fund is on page 62, so you have 62, 63, and 64.
So in the capital fund.
Councilmember Pepper, on page 55, item number 4, the budget percent change is 650%. I wondered if someone could address that a little bit. I'm on page 55. It's item number 4, and I was just wondering, since it's a 650% change, I'm just wondering if someone could address that, please.
That must be due to growth as well.
Yeah, due to growth because we've anticipated that along with the other 10 or 15 houses that are built infill in the city, that we're at least going to have 50 houses built in the villages. So that's what that would be, is it, because it says engineering, civil, allocation, inspection. They have to inspect everything.
Thank you.
Pepper, Councilmember Pepper, on page 63, item number 5, the sewer capital fund. I'm wondering if someone can address the 790% increase.
Well, it's a transfer in from a project.
Okay, does internal project...
What page is the project on? Isn't it shown someplace else?
But by saying internal, you mean like a city project?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you look down below, it shows transfer out to internal projects and transfer in. So they're offsetting the $89,000 at 790%. Line item 17 and line item 5 are offsetting. And all these projects are in the draft capital improvement plan from 2017 to 2022. So all these projects are listed.
Oh, we got more in there than just the 2017.
This only has the 2017.
That's
one. Right.
Councilmember Edelman, I just want to make another comment on page 63. As you're going through some of these things, and this is more of a kudos to the staff, when you look at the expenditures, they also show you the CIP numbers like L2, S2, which refers back to whatever the project is. And that's very nice. Thank you.
Councilmember Chidi. So I'd just like to say, you know, kudos to the mayor and staff for presenting the council with a balanced budget. You know, so far the council at this work study or any work study has not had any grievances on anything. So we added a few things to it, to the CIP, but otherwise I think, you know, it's a good budget, and thank you. Nice job.
Yes, Councilmember Edelman, I think something else we need to keep in mind, that this is the budget, and circumstances change throughout the year. Some things we may have to come back and revisit. Our revenue may increase, probably, I would assume. But a lot of the things that you see in this budget are based on assumptions and projections from experts in the field, and they know what they're doing, and the staff. And we've got an excellent staff that's got a history of doing budgeting. They know what they need. They know how to go about getting it and to do it for the best bang for their buck.
on page 67, where it says operating fund balance reserves, the city's goal is to achieve a 10% reserve of anticipated expenditures. Is this, if one doesn't need the reserve, are these 10% reserves just going to pile up?
Well, no, the 10% is what our goal is at the end of every year. So we're more than that 10%, but not necessarily pile up. It depends on what kind of issues go on in the next couple of years, whether we have to use that reserve fund. But we never want to go below the 10%.
Yes. And I was thrilled to see that it appears that we're keeping 3 months in reserve.
Yes, that's correct.
In our on-the-deck funds. And we have a contingency reserve. So that's good.
That's Councilmember Weber. So on page 67, just to clarify, you were talking earlier about having the rate analysis, you know, the guy come in, whatever. So that falls under utility rates and fees. So then if the public reads that, they know that that's coming next year, hopefully. Or I don't know if that's something that can, you know, be added as a note or, you know what I'm saying, under utility rates and fees. It's every 5 years, but it doesn't state, per se, when the 5 years is.
But this is Councilmember Edelman. It says rates and fees will be reviewed at least biennially and adjusted to adequately reflect the cost of services.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes on to say every 5 years. So we have the ability at least biannually. We could do it once a year if we felt the need to have to adjust for whatever the circumstances may be.
Yeah, I guess my point was, you know, if I just read this as a general public, not part of the discussion, I would see every 5 years, well, when's the last time we did that? You see what I'm saying? I'm just wondering if there could be like some kind of possibly a note, you know, last rate analysis and
whatever date it was.
2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I know when we talked about it in the past, as far as the policy manual document, I'm trying to remember, but I thought May said that, you know, that's like a lot of documents that we have in the city, they're kind of living documents. They, you know, they're not like set in concrete. So that's just a suggestion for myself.
Well, we can put it in
to put
where
some,
where the fund is, right?
Mm-hmm. That's probably a good spot for
Actually. So just a suggestion to at least so people know when.
But if you're looking at
when
they're
doing it. Just gives people a marker to know when the last one was, when the next one would be coming up. I don't know.
Yep.
So, Erica here. Utility operating policies, is it our intent for the utility operating policies that have similar operating policies to the rest of the government operating policies that we're working towards? I don't think we're there yet, because I don't think we have those excess funds there yet.
I'm not sure I understand.
I certainly don't.
Well, under this policy on 67, city utilities are enterprise funds and therefore need to maintain a revenue and expense structure that allows them to be self-supporting with adequate revenue that pays for maintenance, operations, debt service, capital costs, blah, blah, blah. adequate reserves, rate analysis, and budgetary policy steering the utilities towards ongoing self-sufficiency. So I'm just asking, what's our standard of self-sufficiency? Is our standard of self-sufficiency like the rest of the rest of our budget, or
when we do,
or is it different for each utility? Or
when we do the number one, we look every year at where we are compared to where we were the year before. Mm-hmm. If the fund is going up or down, mm-hmm. if the fund is going down, and there's other issues with the funds, all the funds or some of the funds, then that's why we decided we were going to have the utility study next year, is because there's an issue with one of the funds, actually two of the funds, because we have the problem with the transportation too. We have no money. Anyway, so that's how we determine when we're going to do the study again. So that's why we determined that, because the water fund looks like that we're going to have to, or the water fund looks like that it's going to go down, that we need to change it. And the same thing with the sewer fund, that we need to raise our portion more than just 1% a year, because it won't keep up with inflation.
Just so that everybody knows that there's no, that I'm not making an implication. I think the utility funds are supposed to be self-supporting but not making money. And
correct.
And self-supporting within their own sphere, not making money. Whereas the city's general fund can put money aside for reserves and expand.
Exactly.
Expand possibly what the services are that it provides. With
Councilmember Pepper, I'm on page 73. Anesthesia Supply Company. On page 73, under major businesses, we have Anesthesia Supply Company.
That's Mario Sorci's business that is in the parking lot of our building.
Thank you.
School districts are right here, though. All four of them are here, but none of that other page is the three school districts.
Well, I think it's easy to forget about Auburn because there really is.
Well, there's no homes in there.
There's no right homes. Now. Nobody attends the school.
But it's the future. Yeah.
January 1st to December 31st. Are we ready to move on to the property tax?
Can I ask one question, though? I mean, does the majority here have any major heartburns with this balanced budget that the mayor has given us?
I have some more questions, and I'm trying to find the information.
demographic information is stuff that you got from our comp plan stuff, right? I think that's where Barb got hers anyway. Some of hers. So these two property tax ordinances, one of them is just the ordinance is setting the property tax value, and then the second ordinance is setting the property tax dollar amount based on the worksheet and tax chart that was required that's required by May to adopt by the state. So that's the last page in your packet. This levy worksheet page is the one that tells you how you can collect the tax. And then the first one is just to say how much it's going to be. So you have two different ordinances, and they have to be adopted simultaneously. Both of them have to be adopted, or you can't adopt it. And they both have to be adopted by November 30th, no later than November 30th. And that's one of the reasons that we put it on for a public hearing on the 16th, so that it would be, or on the 17th, so it would be ready for adoption, because it could be adopted at that meeting, since we've already had one public hearing. So the meeting of November 17th is a very extremely important meeting. So I would like to ask you, Pat Pepper, why you said you couldn't attend that meeting.
The budget committee isn't going to be there.
Why?
Why would I go to a meeting where the budget committee isn't there?
So, Erica, why are you not going to be there? Do you not realize how critical... Do you realize how critical these meetings are? We will miss our budget deadline and a property tax. But it's 7 o'clock at night? How about you, Brian? Where are you going to be? I mean, you have an obligation. We have scheduled meetings that have been scheduled since the beginning of the year. These are very important meetings. We spend $180 every time we advertise. So we advertised twice for the property tax, and we advertised for the budget, and it's $180 every time for a week to advertise. And so we're spending this money, and now you expect us to go out and advertise again before the 29th? There is no way we can do that. We have no way to meet the obligations of the city by not having the meeting on the 17th. We cannot meet the budget or the property tax requirements if we do not have that meeting. And it's been on the calendar all year.
So, Councilmember Dini.
And Pat Pepper, that is not a good excuse, because the other two people are not going to be there. You can't attend the meeting.
So, Councilmember Dini here. So, at the last meeting, Brian Weber stated he wasn't going to attend. And then Erica, you stated maybe
you couldn't attend.
Sure.
Maybe.
So, Councilmember Pepper, you didn't say anything at that meeting. You didn't speak up. No, wait, I got the floor. You didn't speak up at all. So, then today you email and say you're not going to be there because you three have tried to cancel the November 17th meeting. So
for
your
8 days. We have tried to cancel it.
Because let's just be honest, and I sent an email. Let's just be honest, because you do not want to be there without your majority. You do not want to be there, even if Erica showed up.
You still don't want to be there. You still don't want to be there. You don't have to answer me.
But
the only reason is because Brian Weber won't be there, so you two don't want to be there because you're scared that it won't, you won't get your stuff that you want done. So just say it so you are open to this public. You guys lie all the time.
Oh, my. I would just like to say that the only thing that I have to do is to say that I will not attend the meeting.
No, you owe us. You owe the citizens that voted for you into office. You owe them an explanation on why you are not fulfilling the duties that you were elected to do. But let me, I want to make a quote here. Because in your meeting, in your illegal meeting that you tried to have earlier this week, Eric, on lawn chairs in front of the police department.
That was mine only. There was only one lawn chair.
Oh, well, okay. But that really doesn't matter. Here's something that matters. Erica says, it's too bad that the mayor refused to notice the, and I will add, illegal meeting, because we need more meetings if we are going to pass a budget. We have had, let me finish, we have had this meeting on the calendar all year. Per the Black Diamond Municipal Code, we have two meetings a month, the first and third Thursdays. The fact that, and whatever your reason is, Brian, you gave one last week, but Erica and Pat, you have no legitimate reasons for not showing up for these meetings. We need to pass the budget. This government has got to function. The staff has got to be able to do their jobs. Are you guys going to take the responsibility of shutting down the system, shutting down the government of the City of Black Diamond so that we send all of our city employees home? There's no fire. There's no police. There's no public works. What are you going to do, Brian, when the sewer backs up? Because there won't be any public works people to go fix it. What are you going to do when you don't have water? These other two don't care about Black Diamond water because Erica is on a well and Pat is on Covington water. What are you guys going to do, and how are you going to answer the citizens of this city for your lack of action, because you guys are behaving like kindergartners having a little hissy fit out in the schoolyard? It's unacceptable behavior. You folks need to grow up. You need to step up. You need to do your job. And by God, you need to show up at the meeting next Thursday.
Now, last week, the meeting for the 17th was tried to be changed. This week, we have worked
on tried
to cancel
me, you're interrupting.
It, not
you're interrupting.
Change. You're interrupting. And we are trying to change the meeting to a different date. And
the date is not acceptable.
Well, the Washington State Legislature says that special meetings may be called by the mayor or any three members of the council by written notice delivered to each member of the council at least 24 hours before the time specified for the proposed meeting, which we have done. Actually, it's been done maybe two or three times this week. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
In MRSC, it says that you cannot call a special meeting if there's an imminent meeting that has the same information on it. That 17th meeting had the same thing, that your special meeting that you wanted to call, and plus you had two franchise agreements. You cannot vote or talk about franchise agreements in a special meeting. You didn't read all of the stuff about special meetings. I did.
Pat just read you out the state law.
And B,
I did not have access in September to the calendar for November. I'm sorry.
So, Councilmember Beattie.
Wait. This has been out there since August.
Every time that we had our first work session, this
So, Councilmember Deedy, so I just want to say that even at the last meeting on November 3rd, Brian Weber said he wasn't going to be there. Erica stated maybe she was not going to be there or maybe she would. But Councilmember Pepper, you just decided today that you weren't going to be there. That, and you stated it's because these two are not going to be there. So there's still a quorum to do two public hearings and two public hearings, but you just stated that that was not the case. So, you, not any one of you guys are leaders. You're followers of
Brian. All I have to say is this is totally disgusting. You guys think that you can rule the roost because you have the majority. That doesn't make you right, and it doesn't make it legal. And you guys can get up and walk out. That's just fine. But let me tell you, there's an election coming up next year, and we may have to put up with another year of you three. But you won't be here in 2018.
Well, before, if all the ranting is done, I'll be out of town on business. Actually, I'll be out of the country on business. And it's not business that can be changed. And I was at the mercy of a customer airline. So I have no choice but to go. And if that, and I'm not going to argue points.
He's been, she's been gone from a meeting. She's been gone last year from a meeting when we didn't have this quorum. But now that you have the majority, you don't want to miss your opportunity that somebody might vote on something. These two people have, no, it's not on you. It's on these two people that have a requirement to attend these meetings. You cannot say, oh, whoops, I didn't know there was a meeting on the 17th. It's been on the calendar since she first published the calendar for August when we had our first work session on the budget.
So, Brian, can I ask you, because they want to schedule it for 20th, so I'm assuming you're back to 27th, 28th. Is that correct? So that's why it's pushed out all the way out to the 29th.
I'll be gone about a week. So, and hold on. Okay.
But neither one of you two council members have given us a legitimate reason on why you can't be here at 7 o'clock in the evening.
That I cannot make
that is baloney. That's baloney.
But we can't, we cannot make our noticing requirements anymore. We missed our noticing requirements. Brian?
So, are we going to discuss what's on the table as far as these ordinances, or are we going to continue the back and forth and just adjourn?
Why discuss them? We can't pass them. We don't have any way to pass them. They were to be passed at the meeting on the 17th to meet the deadline of the
30th. Then you just said that the meeting on the 17th is going forward.
But nobody's going to be there. If there's no quorum, you can't vote.
We won't have a quorum because the other two council members who could be here won't be here. Tammy and I will be here.
And I've never gotten official notice from Erica Morgan that she's not going to be there except tonight. You said at the last meeting you might not be able to be there. You didn't say you weren't going to be here.
I may not have all my calendars in my head at all times.
It's been out there since August. And we know the first and third Thursdays are our meetings. There's no rocket science about that.
And you guys need to be ashamed of yourselves.
If a special surgeon has to fly in from New York to do a special thing, then I haven't got a choice in it. There's only one day he was going to be here.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so, okay, just put aside these two. Councilmember Pepper.
I can meet on the 23rd.
Councilmember Pepper, can I talk? Councilmember Pepper, can I finish my sentence? Councilmember Pepper, can I finish my sentence? Please.
Oh, seriously?
May I finish? Councilmember Pepper, hello. Thank you. So I'm just asking, you just stated at the beginning when we asked, talked about this, you said you weren't going to attend because these two were not going to be there.
No, I said the budget.
No, that's not what you said.
I said the budget.
Right. Okay, so Eric. So that's them. They interchange. So what? So I don't understand. Wait, I don't understand. There's a quorum that can be there just because these two can't be there. Why? Seriously, why can't you be there? What do they, either one of these, have that you need them there at the meeting? No, I want her to answer that.
I think that you are kind of cross-examining me.
No, I just
really
want to know.
I've already stated.
No, you stated that these two won't be there, so you're not going to show up. Why do you have to have one of these here?
I have made other arrangements which create a conflict. I cannot be present at that meeting.
You just stated these two. That's why you're not going.
Since this is going nowhere, I make a motion to adjourn.
Oh,
then I'll. Okay. Then I call the question then.
Aye.